What I'd like to do today is call upon our friends here to discuss the impact that the free trade agreements have, the benefits for agriculture, and consequently, rural America and America in general. And for that, I'd like to start first, I think, with Bill O'Donnell, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Bill, would you come and visit with us for a few minutes and then discuss afterwards with questions what the real impact of this is on production ag?
I'd be happy to, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for this opportunity. You know, a year ago, these same groups met at the National Press Club to honor World Trade Month, urging Congress to ratify these trade agreements. And here we are again together 1 year later, and not one agreement has been ratified. So why are we sitting on the sidelines and allowing U.S. farmers and ranchers to be put at a competitive disadvantage with our competitors while they sign and deliver and seal trade deals? There's no good reason, in my estimation. It's time to cross the finish line. With that said, it's only fair to give credit where credit is due. U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk made promises that he would aggressively work to resolve any issues with the pending free trade agreements. He honored that commitment. I tip my hat to him for keeping his word. These agreements are ready to be sent to Congress today. There are a lot of policymakers who have trumpeted these trade pacts and the overall importance of free and open trade, and I can't mention them all, so I would like to acknowledge a couple of them. First, Chairman Lucas, your staunch support for expanding opportunities outside our borders for U.S. farmers and ranchers is not only commendable but admirable. Thank you very much. And secondly, to my own senior senator, Max Baucus, who is the Senate Finance Chairman, is to be commended for sticking to his guns on the beef issue with South Korea, despite criticism, even though some of that came from me at times. Because of these efforts, cattle ranchers may very well see greater opportunities in South Korea. South Korea, the demand for U.S. beef is growing. It's a popular product with Korean consumers. Last year, we sold over $500 million worth of beef into Korea. Unfortunately, all cuts of beef going into Korea were hit with a 40% trade tariff, resulting in more than $200 million that was spent on trade tariffs. This outrageous trade tariff is the greatest hindrance to expanding U.S. beef exports into Korea. When implemented, FTA will phase out the 40% tariff with $15 million in savings the first year in tariffs and $325 million in saving annually once fully implemented. This is hundreds of millions of dollars in cost savings that will stimulate the beef industry and rural America. According to the U.S. Trade Commission, annual exports of U.S. beef could increase as much as $1.8 billion once this agreement is fully implemented. However, Australia has successfully ratified their bilateral agreement with South Korea before the United States. They will enjoy nearly a 3% tariff advantage over the American beef for the next 15 years. That's not acceptable. Additionally, South Korea and the European Union have signed a free trade agreement in October, and it will be implemented in July of this year. The U.S.-Colombia Trade Promotion Agreement, when implemented, will immediately eliminate one of the highest tariffs in the world, 80% on prime and choice U.S. beef. All tariffs on beef and beef products will phase out over 15 years, and for the first time ever, U.S. beef will be on a competitive footing with beef imports from Brazil and Argentina. These trade agreements are truly about fair trade as well as free trade. And in 2010, the United States exported $750,000 in beef to products to Colombia, which isn't much, but when you consider the 80% tariff, it's think what we could do without that. Another important linchpin for U.S. beef trade is Panama Free Trade Agreement. Like Colombia, the Panama Free Trade Agreement provides assurances for stable export markets through plant inspection equivalency. Panama also modified its import requirements related to BSE to be consistent with internationally recognized standards. Additionally, the 30% tariff on prime and choice cuts would be immediately eliminated, and the duties on all other cuts would be phased out over 15 years. If Congress approves these agreements, the United States will ultimately have free trade for U.S. beef with approximately two-thirds of the Western Hemisphere. Failure to implement these pending trade agreements sends the wrong message to our major export markets like China and Russia, markets with tremendous potential but limited or non-existent access. That demand will be met by someone. It should be met by U.S. producers selling U.S. beef. In honor of World Trade Month and National Trade Month, I ask President Obama to send these agreements to Congress immediately. Don't continue this five-year delay any longer. Members of Congress, prepare your yes vote and push all three of these agreements across the finish line. This is a powerful stimulus package for the American people, a stimulus package that will not cost the American taxpayers one damn dime. Thank you.
Good afternoon. The next representative that we have representing our Agriculture Coalition is representative of the National Pork Producers Council, their president and Wisconsin producer, Doug Wolf.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Chairman Lucas, for allowing us this opportunity to come here today to speak about trade agreements. My name is Doug Wolf. I am a pork producer from Lancaster, Wisconsin, and I am the president of the National Pork Producers Association. NPPC represents the interests of over 67,000 pork producers here in Washington. Trade is of vital importance to the U.S. pork industry, as it is to all industries represented here today. Last year, for example, our industry exported nearly $4.8 billion in pork, an amount that adds $56 to the price producers receive for each market hog. The U.S. is the number one exporter of pork in the world, and we're the lowest cost producer of pork in the world. For us to remain successful in a viable industry, we need new and expanded market access. And one way to get this is through free trade agreements. We are here today to urge the Obama administration to send up the implementing legislation for Congress to take, promote action, prompt action, in free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea. These FTAs, which would eliminate tariffs on U.S. pork and other products, combined would add more than $11 to the price producers receive for each hog and would generate more than 10,000 U.S. pork industry jobs. The South Korea deal alone would add more than $10 to the price of each hog and create 9,000 pork industry jobs. By the end of the FTA's phase-in period, total U.S. pork exports to Korea will be almost 600,000 metric tons. That represents nearly twice the current U.S. export level to Japan, now the top value market for U.S. pork industry. Korea would buy 5% of the total U.S. pork production. We need to implement these FTAs now, because while these deals have languished for more than 3 years, other countries have negotiated their own trade deals with Colombia, Panama, and Korea, and the United States has lost market shares to those nations. If we fail to implement our FTAs with South Korea, for example, the U.S. would be eliminated from the market over a 10-year period because of South Korea-European Union FTA, which goes into effect July 1st. Not only would we lose pork sales, we'd lose more than 3,600 full-time U.S. pork industry jobs. We face similar adverse scenarios in Colombia, Panama, both of which recently completed FTAs with Canada. So it is clear that by not approving these trade agreements, the United States will be going backward. Our industry can't afford that. Our country can't afford that. Thank you.
Thank you. And representing the American Soybean Association is their board member and Delaware farmer, Richard Wilkins.
Good afternoon. I am Richard Wilkins, a member of the American Soybean Association Board of Directors and a farmer from Greenwood, Delaware. Soybeans and soybean products are the largest single United States commodity export, valued at over $23 billion in sales last year. Soybean exports and soy products exports represent 20% of total United States agricultural exports. The American Soybean Association takes this opportunity to thank the Obama administration and officials from Colombia, South Korea, and Panama for their work in concluding negotiations on these three pending free trade agreements. Now, ASA urges Congress and the administration to work together to implement as soon as possible these three pending free trade agreements so we can take full advantage of the opportunities they provide for America's economic growth. Looking at the three a little bit in detail, the Colombia Free Trade Agreement, due to the delay in implementing the free trade agreement with Colombia, United States soybean farmers have already lost substantial market share to competitors in the Colombian market. U.S. soybean product exports in 2010 were down 64% from 2008 levels. Total agricultural exports to Colombia have gone down from 40% of their total agricultural imports were from the United States in 2007 down to 21% in 2010. While we're sitting on the sidelines, we're losing substantial market share in what could be a potential great market for us. Should the United States further delay implementation, erosion of U.S. market position will continue, as Colombia's existing and pending free trade agreements with competitor countries take hold. Looking at the Korea Free Trade Agreement, it'll help United States soybean farmers compete against Korea's other soybean suppliers. Domestic demand for United States soybean meal will also increase because the agreement is expected to generate millions of dollars of new meat and poultry exports. Domestic livestock consumed 28 million metric tons of soybean meal last year, using nearly 80% of all the soybean meal processed in this country. When we process soybean meal in this country, that's United States jobs. The Panama Free Trade Agreement will lock in duty-free access to the Panamanian soybean market and prevent other countries from taking some of the current U.S. share. Free trade agreement will benefit soybean farmers by immediately eliminating the tariffs on U.S. soybeans, soybean meal, and crude vegetable oil. Evidence shows that when nations partner together in free trade agreements, that the economies of both partner nations benefit. Substantial improvement in economic activity and jobs and market opportunities come along with that market access. The American Soybean Association advocates negotiation of trade agreements that significantly improve access to foreign markets for U.S. soy and livestock products. Ratification of these trade agreements is long overdue. Now is the time for Congress and the administration to work together to do whatever is necessary for the enabling legislation to come to the Hill and to approve these agreements. Thank you.
Our next representative is representing the National Association of Wheat Growers, their CEO, Dana Peterson.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dana Peterson with the National Association of Wheat Growers. I'm excited to be here to talk again about these three free trade agreements with my fellow agricultural leaders and a number of them farmers themselves. As you know, these free trade agreements are kind of languishing in our government process. Panama, South Korea, Colombia are vitally important to the agricultural industry because we, in wheat, export half of our crop, so it's even more important for us. We thought it would be a good opportunity to kind of put in perspective how long we've been pushing for these agreements to go through. Since the day they were signed in November 2006, we've had the biggest recession since the Great Depression. We've elected a new president who's said that he's going to run yet again in the next election. We've held both Winter and Summer Olympics. Twitter, which has now more than 200 million users, was just a tiny startup that was invented a few months before the agreement with Colombia was signed. In fact, Twitter didn't become its own company until a year later. Babies that were born the same day as the agreements were signed are going to kindergarten this fall. And students who went to college months before the agreement was signed graduated a year ago. So it's been a lot. A few weeks ago, one of our wheat growers, director of our board, a wheat farmer from Montana, was in town to visit with both the Senate Finance Committee and both here in this room. He took vital time away from his spring planting season to come to D.C. He described to members of Congress the U.S. wheat industry situation with these agreements. People around the world rely on our wheat for their daily bread, and we rely on free and open trade to help us sell that abundance to them. Gordon told members, and I quote, "Free and open trade with other countries is a vital component for ensuring the financial viability of U.S. wheat farmers." He told them about the stark reality that $100 billion will be lost in sales of wheat to Colombia alone if that agreement is not done this summer. In fact, our buyers of U.S. wheat are already transitioning their mills to use wheat sourced from other locations. Folks, this is not a complicated message. All of us are here confirming the same thing. These agreements are about helping our economy, our agricultural economy, and the broader economy. They are about buffering our trade balance by selling more of something we produce really well, American agricultural products. These agreements are about keeping our market share and even building market share in these countries. They're about jobs, jobs on the farm and jobs off the farm, jobs in every component of our nation's economy that has been built on the foundation of agriculture. It's time to break the logjam and bring these agreements forward. We appreciate your time in being here today and look forward to answering any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next panelist is representing the National Corn Growers Association. He's their first vice president and an Illinois farmer, Gary Niemeyer.
Good afternoon. I am Gary Niemeyer, first vice president of the National Corn Growers Association of Auburn, Illinois. I'm honored to be here today to speak about the importance of passing free trade agreements with Korea, Colombia, and Panama. The United States is the largest corn producer and exporter in the world. This year, we expect to export 2 billion bushels of corn worldwide. Developing new markets and expanding current markets is important to helping American agriculture lead the nation in economic growth and competitiveness. As a corn grower, I have a lot to gain from passage of these three FTAs. Beyond increasing domestic and international demand for corn and related products like distillers' grain, passing FTAs benefit my customers in the livestock and poultry industries by increasing the export of high-quality meats. I am especially interested in the FTA for Korea, which represents the United States' third largest corn market. We cannot afford to watch it slip away to our largest competitors. When the FTA is passed, Korea's imports of U.S. corn for feed are guaranteed to enter duty-free. This provides a sort of market certainty growers need to ensure robust and reliable export growth. Failure to pass the FTAs will place U.S. corn producers at a competitive disadvantage. NCGA recognizes any opportunity to increase access to downstream value-added products as a win for the U.S. economy. I would like to thank Chairman Lucas for his leadership in this effort and recently holding the hearings to examine the FTAs and highlight their benefits to the agriculture sector. U.S. corn producers stand ready to develop and provide corn products to meet the demands of modern global consumption. I urge Congress to work swiftly to pass the pending free trade agreements with Korea, Colombia, and Panama. Thank you.
And our final panelist today represents the American Farm Bureau Federation as their president and originally from Texas, a farmer and rancher, Mr. Bob Stallman.
Well, good afternoon, and I think Dana stated it quite correctly. There's not a complicated message here. I could probably say ditto, and let's get her done, and that would pretty much cover it. I want to thank Chairman Lucas for providing us the opportunity and to have this press conference today and for his great support for passage of these three FTAs. I am Bob Stallman, the cattle and rice producer from Texas, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. We're the largest general farm organization in the country and represent producers of all commodities all across the country. This debate really, as opposed to what we've traditionally said in agriculture about the need to open up markets, has turned into one about trying to keep markets. So we've gone from offense to defense. We're seeing a proliferation of FTAs around the world, and the U.S. is not a part of very many of them. These three agreements, Panama, Colombia, South Korea, gives us an opportunity to at least remain competitive with the people, the countries out there that are trying to take our markets. The poster child actually for this is Colombia. We have lost 50%, that's one half, of our exports over the period of 2008 to 2010 to Colombia. We've gone from a 46% market share to a 21% market share. We were down in Colombia and Panama both first week in April, and we had the opportunity to visit with a lot of their industry people, the people that traditionally have imported our products. But now they're importing products from other countries, generally from the Mercosur countries, because they have a much more favorable tariff structure. They told us over and over again they want to buy our products. They like the quality. They have a transportation advantage into the port of Cartagena. But they can't overcome the difference in tariff that exists. So while we wait and wait to pass agreements that will make us competitive and lower our tariffs, we have our competitors already walking in and taking over those markets. And once industry adjusts to new suppliers, it's a fight to get the markets back. They're not going to just fall back in and start ordering American product. So the longer we wait, the more market we lose. A lot of opponents of trade agreements talk about, well, we need to level the playing field. And maybe the one thing that's not stated often enough, particularly with Colombia and Panama, is that's exactly what we're doing. Their products already come into this market basically tariff-free under trade preference agreements. So what we're doing, particularly for American agriculture, is leveling the playing field and allowing us access into those markets as we reduce the tariffs on our exports to those markets. These agreements are truly important to America's bottom line, both in terms of the general economy, in terms of agriculture. $2.5 billion in additional exports if we'll go ahead and pass these agreements. But we're not going to get those $2.5 billion unless we pass these agreements. Each $1 billion in agricultural exports creates 9,000 jobs in this country. So at a time when our economy is trying to recover, at a time when every elected political leader talks about the need to create jobs, there's no excuse whatsoever for us not moving forward and passing these three agreements. We certainly want that to happen as quickly as possible, and we are in support of doing that, and we'll work very hard with our elected leaders of Congress to accomplish that. Thank you.